Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:37 a.m. That is Hong Kong summer time, and today is August 2nd, but of course this is the audio for the 1st of August. And the 1st of August is a big day for Bitcoin because it is the big fork day. For anyone who doesn't know what the fork is in terms of Bitcoin, simply type a Bitcoin fork into Google, but what it represents is a big decision for Bitcoin miners, because what they've decided to do is change the very essence of Bitcoin and blockchain to allow it to grow to accommodate the size of the market such as it is today, that the fact that it has grown into a global marketplace, and also that it has to help to speed up the transaction process, which can take upwards of hours at present when one wants to transact in Bitcoin. What is interesting is that the price paused around $3,000 back in June, and it got back up to test that level over the last couple of weeks, but it has eased back in here today. Quite whether the fork is going to be a very smooth process has yet to be determined, and today is only the beginning of the process. The first piece of code will have been hardwired into blockchain, but it could take upwards of 3 months to get the entire thing done and dusted. And because this is such a volatile asset class, then we can anticipate that there will be additional volatility. And the 3,000 level is a psychological barrier at this stage. It has paused around here for the last 6 weeks. So now the question is whether it can sustain a move above it. What we have seen previously is that Bitcoin has gone through periods of consolidation, and they are eventually resolved with upward breaks, at least so far. Of course, what we can also say about this chart is that it is no longer consistent, that it accelerated to this high, and now we are in this much more volatile, rangy environment. So there is potential topping characteristics evident here, and therefore a sustained move above 3,000 is going to be required to reaffirm demand dominance. And it's hard not to mention gold when one is talking about assets that have got limited supply. And gold prices continue to firm from the $1,250 area. And that's a reasonable performance, that it has been able to hold this $1,200 area. But I think what is more important at this stage is the levels that both silver and platinum are trading at. They're both testing their respective regions, or the regions of their respective trend means, and if they can sustain moves above them, then that would begin to suggest that we have had more than a short covering rally, but rather that we are back in a demand dominated environment, and that the potential is considering that the most recent place where silver has encountered resistance was around $20, at least for after a meaningful rally, that we could open up the potential for a test of that level if it can break the progression of lower rally highs and sustain a move above the trend mean. And it's a pretty similar story for platinum, whereas palladium has been the clear leader in the sector, and it is also at an interesting level. It's back testing the $900 level, and this is the third occasion in the last few years that it has been able to do that. So it paused around 900 in 2011 and again in 2014, and it has held this rivetingly consistent progression of higher reaction lows for the last year and a half, and a break in that progression would really be required to question that it isn't going to be able to sustain a move above $900 at some point over the next few months, and potentially even sooner than that. When we look at the stock market environment, and I can just pull the chart over here, we can see that the vast majority of indices were in positive territory in here today, and the DAX index was up 1%. But I think most people will be keeping a very close eye on Wall Street. What I find quite interesting is the number of people that are beginning to predict that we're going to have a much more difficult environment. And that's rather interesting because the index is at rather it's pretty close to its all-time high. We have a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and considering what the consistency characteristics are of the S&P 500, that it is more likely to range than trend for the next while, considering that it has had pullbacks in the region of about 50 points, that it is in the region of that 2,500 level, which is a psychological level, that it has paused in the region of these 100-point markers over the last year. It paused at 2,300, it paused at 2,400, and now it's pausing around the 2,500, and that's reasonably consistent. And trend that we've had since the beginning of 2016 has been one of the most consistent periods within this 10-year chart, and it's an advance that is at least as consistent as that which we had between about 2012 and the middle of 2015, but it is perhaps a little bit steeper. As long as it continues to do what it's been doing, then we can consider it a consistent trend. And I think that it is worth considering that there is the Wall Street leash effect. So when we look at, for example, Germany, and despite the fact that that its automotive sector is under a bit of a cloud, there is increasing evidence that this is just one of the European indices that has been able to pull back to the region of the trend mean in a relatively orderly fashion, and that it has been pulling back in a slower manner than it advanced initially, and that this continues to look like nothing more than a consolidation and a reversion back to the mean. And it is looking increasingly likely that this reversion towards the mean has pretty much run its course. If we look at a broader index for Europe, like the Euro Stoxx index, then we get a pretty similar story. And European growth is coming in ahead of expectations, and the ECB is very tentatively beginning to talk about what a tapering might look like, but they're not going to be in any hurry. The euro is back testing the 118 level, or $1.18 level, and that has been able to break up and out of a 2-year range over the last few weeks. It was a little bit weaker in here today, but as we can see very clearly on that daily chart, that the weakness that we have today is inconsequential relative to the strength that we've seen over the last few months. And I think most particularly the breakouts that we're seeing for various currencies against the US dollar is this is no longer just a simply a case of the dollar being a little bit weaker, but that there is some relative strength in a number of other currencies. And if we go back and think about the fact that we are already almost a decade into an economic recovery and a stock market recovery, then it is about time for cyclicals to begin to take over relative strength. We're starting to see that with the commodity complex, and we're beginning to see that with commodity-related currencies. The Australian dollar is currently pausing around that 80-cent level, but it has so far sustained this breakout from a year-long range, and that was following a pretty prolonged period of underperformance. So I think that the potential is for additional upside for this market. And the fact that we have a period of global synchronized global economic expansion should be good for commodity complex generally, and for commodity producers particularly, but when we look at, for example, the ASX 200, it is hovering here in the region of the trend mean. It's been pausing below this 6,000 level for most of this year, and as long as it can hold this area around the trend mean and potentially break up out of it, then the benefit of the doubt may be given to the upside. The Australian market has been sort of out in the hinterland for much of the last few years, not least because the resources sector has had such a difficult time, and the fact now is that the index is largely dominated by the banking sector. Back in 2008 or 2010, between or even as recently as 2010, BHP and Rio had an almost equal market cap compared to the four big Australian banks. That's no longer the case, and the Australian banks now dominate the ASX 200. So their ability to rally is obviously going to have an important influence, and their exposure to the domestic real estate market is perhaps the big question that is overhanging this particular index. But if we continue to see the industrial metals continuing to do better, that should be positive for Australia. But obviously, because Australia has been investing so heavily in liquefied natural gas, what happens with the energy complex is also going to be important. And oil prices were down over a dollar in here today. I think we might conclude that the easy part of the rally has already occurred, that it is now testing the progression of lower rally highs, and it really does need to rally pretty smartly if this isn't going to represent an additional lower high in what has been a volatile trading environment for oil prices over the last while. If we could see oil prices above $55, then that would begin to signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment that's more than short-term steadying. But this is a very choppy environment overall, and it is rather difficult to make money when you've such an inconsistent chart pattern. And I think another market where we could say that we don't have particularly consistent advances is in government bonds. Government bond yields are pulling back, treasury yields are pulling back from that 2.4% level. They're at 2.25% right now. We're just about mid-range in terms of that 5-year range that's been developing in treasuries and testing the region of the trend mean. Of course, a trend mean is most useful when you have a trend, and I think it would be difficult to conclude that we have a trend in government bond yields right now. What is certainly the case is that a sustained move above 2.4% would be required to suggest that we're back in a supply-dominated environment. You had Alan Greenspan talking over the weekend about not so much seeing a bubble in stocks, but a bubble in bonds, and that's certainly a view that we have some sympathy with at this service. But at the same time, when we look at this chart pattern, it looks like a base formation, and we can make some rational arguments for why it might be a base formation. But it hasn't yet been completed, and that would suggest that we don't yet have a great deal of evidence that the bond bull market is over. There is this almost philosophical argument going on about what is it going to take for wage growth to really pick up, and it's a very, very big question. Certainly, they're in the short side of that argument. I guess the short-term side of that argument, there is the potential for higher wages or a better economy to pull more underemployed or unemployed people into the workforce. And that is probably helping to contain wages, but that is unlikely to last indefinitely. But there is the other side of that equation, that the higher wages go, the greater the incentive there is to automate. And we are at a point where it is increasingly easy to automate an increasingly large number of jobs. And that's an important medium-term consideration from the perspective of inflation and also from the perspective of what we can anticipate from bonds. So these are incredibly big questions, and of course nobody knows the answer, because not least because central bank balance sheets are at historically high levels, have never been at these levels before, and nobody knows what's going to happen when they take away the punch bowl. And that's a very, very big question, and it means that we really do have to pay particular attention to what's happening on the charts and become progressively more alert to top formation development. But right now there isn't any evidence of it, and if there's no evidence of top formation development in stock markets, then we have to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I've seen what I find particularly interesting, I'd like to reiterate, is that I've seen an increasingly large number of bearish reports. Everything ranging from that valuations are extraordinarily high, that we're going to have that there's going to be a crash any day now, or that the number of bears is at historically low levels. That all suggests that people are not long. If I was seeing an increasing number of reports saying that this is a wonderful buying opportunity and that you simply cannot pass it up, that if you don't buy now you're going to be left behind, that would give me more cause for concern. But as long as we have this progression of higher reaction lows and these relatively modest reactions and a VIX index that is pretty much inert, then this is still a reasonably benign environment. I think I'm certainly not the only person who thinks that this very low VIX index reading is something that is in large part being engineered by the automated trading systems that dominate trading right now, but also that it is unlikely to persist indefinitely, that we have seen volatility come down on at least every time we've had a bout of volatility, the index has come in at a lower level, and that this progression of lower rally highs is not going to last forever. But until it stops lasting, then it suggests that the reasonably benign environment on stock markets is likely to continue. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.